No, I was reading your bio, and you moved here in 1970, is that right?
Yes.
So, where did you come from, and why here?
We came from St. Louis. I'd abandoned academic life. My wife said, well, if we're not going to do anything here, why don't we not do something in California instead? And we both grew up in Southern California and didn't want to go back there. I mean, there was nothing to go back to, essentially, either. Not much left of our family or the landscape. And then my wife's mother was living in a trailer court in McKinleyville. I don't know if you've seen beautiful McKinleyville yet.
I'm afraid I haven't.
It was a little oaky town, like most of the towns around here basically still are at heart. And the summer before we moved here, I had met someone who at a New Schools Conference. I mean, the New Schools Conference was, the New Schools movement was pretty big at the time. And you know, sort of that was my interest in academic life, was trying to get some new models into the university where I was teaching. But that was beaten back fairly successfully.
Yeah.
And my older son was dropping out of third grade because the grammar schools weren't much better. I mean, especially in St. Louis. I mean, it was the suburbs of St. Louis that are just in the news now. I mean, places like Ferguson that surrounded this little white enclave. I'd never lived in a community that had actually had chains across the streets before. I realized, hey, we're in Dixie, you know?
Yeah.
So we moved here, and for a long time, the free school, as we called it, was the center of our lives. Learning organic gardening, and living on welfare, the good life. it was pretty rough at times. And then I just, one thing led to another. And before you know it, 40 years have gone by.
45 years?
45 years, see what I mean?
Yeah.
They want another five.
You know, exactly, just like that. My beard got a little more gray in the last 2 minutes. But, you know, you talk about the New School movement, and you talk about all this stuff, which at the time was revolutionary. Certainly there were predecessors, Black Mountain College, you know, and things like that throughout American history, and little pockets of hip schools and hip education. But, you know, you talk about this, and I'm thinking, this is history. Oh, my God. You know, and I lived during that time as well. So is it weird to think of it like that?
It's the way I tend to think about almost everything now. I mean, I've just finished a book under a pseudonym about the history of money in Humboldt County, which came originally from that initial time of arriving here without it and trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? And thinking, well, how have people lived here before? And started, and that's what sent me into learning about Cheryl Seidner's people and what they did for money, and the Wiat and the Yurok. And so I've just finished this history book, which is about shells and gold and paper money. But it's also about the history of all the new people who came here and the plant they brought with them that's now about to become another form of paper money, from what I can tell.
And this is a green plant you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. So from shells to weed, but also from our early work at starting institutions like the schools and food co-ops, and you know, I'm sure that, I mean, it's a common history through the Northwest. I think maybe that's a lot of what Cascadian culture is. And I have a friend who started the bookstore in Arcata, who now lives in Port Townsend, or has lived there for most of those 45 years. But I think he carried that same that same history carries up and down the coast. And inland, maybe as far as Garberville.
Well, you know, or maybe just a little, they're just, that kind of thing is emerging more. Maybe they're just a little bit delayed from that.
Well, maybe even stuck, you know. I mean, because Garberville has been singularly successful in creating, you know, it's the center of a lot of agricultural life, and that's been very, very, very profitable, and now seems to be doing so well. It's losing a lot of what it began with, and that was part of my concern with writing this book, was to say that what we thought of as weed culture is not necessarily about marijuana. It was about the culture that we brought here, and that was just something somebody figured out that would be like a Peace Corps project. You know, well, how are these people going to live? I know, we'll bring them a plant they can produce and we'll support them.
Yeah.
And it worked better than anyone thought it would. And this little book I've just finished is called The Price of a Life, because that's two things. It's the origin of money, you know, the ways in which money began, with ending blood feud by being able to pay for having taken someone's life.
Restitution.
And it reflected a kind of a long history of our species of reciprocal giving and taking. But it also means, it's also about the lives that have been lost in the marijuana wars, both by, you know, both to the victims of government agents and greed. One of the main characters in this book lost his stepson to a marijuana robbery. And there's a lot of that, a lot of bones in the woods. You know, it's like, so Garberville is, in a way, like a little island of that culture. It's far from Eureka here. They don't get much in the way of services from the county. They're remote and out of reach, and that's been both good and probably bad in some ways.